Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. And Don Day will help us take a look at the agricultural weather forecast next week, by the way, where we aren't going to have a growing region here in the Midwest. We'll remain really cold through Thanksgiving. But South America is getting better. We'll hear more from Don as we talk during this half hour of the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon.
The WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference will be held in Normal, Illinois, November 24th. Tickets are $25 and include lunch and parking. Details and tickets are at 800-898-1065 or willag.org. Thanks to these businesses for their support. Standard Grain, Wisconsin Plastic Drain and Tile, and Strategic Farm Marketing.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures in the corn pit were lower, down 5.5 cents in the nearby contract. That's the December at $3.72 for the day. The March at $3.85, 5.5 lower, and the May at 5.25 lower, $3.93 3/4. The settlement price, July futures for corn at $4.25, down 5.5 in next year's December. At $4.16, down 5.5 cents. Soy complex bean futures, $10.23. The settlement price for the January, down 13 cents. The March at $10.31, down 13. And the May at $10.37 1/4, down 13. July futures at $10.42 1/2, 12.5 cents lower. August at $10.42 3/4, down 13. And November beans, down 14 at $10.11. That, of course, for next year. Bean meal futures at $3.78 were down $9.10. And the bean oil for the day at $32.65, up 20 cents on the afternoon. Soft red winter wheat finished the July harvest month down 3.5 cents at $5.64. The Kansas City hard red in the July at $6.50. Down 2.75 cents. Live cattle futures finished the February at $172.12, up 2.5 cents for the day. The feeder cattle on the afternoon in the nearby November at $240.52 per 100 pounds were up 50 cents in January at $237.32. We're down 15 cents for the day. Lean hogs finished up at $91.50, $1.50 lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. The nearby contract for the crude oil is down for the day. That is currently trading at $91.50. Oh, that's not the nearby contract for the crude oil. There it is. It is trading at $74.42. It's down $1.22 on the day. And the heating oil at $2.38 1/10. That's 0.2 cents lower. Gasoline down just about a penny at $2.04 3/10. Natural gas for the day is 9.5 cents lower at $4.24 1/2 on the afternoon. Checking the outside markets, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is at 17,681, up 64 points. Gold at $1,194 or thereabouts, $10.50 higher. The U.S. dollar down 0.365 at 87.645 on the afternoon. For a Tuesday, the forecast tells us in the Urbana-Champaign area today, scattered flurries, mostly cloudy, a high of just 20 degrees. It'll be cold with wind chill values between 4 and 9 on breezy conditions out of the west-southwest at 11 to 20, gusting all the way to 28, and then tonight, cloudy, a low of 17 degrees. The wind chills will drop that to feels-like temperatures of 5 to 10 degrees, south winds at 8 to 15, and scattered flurries tomorrow morning, partly sunny and a high of 34. It'll be breezy with a south wind at 15 to 21. Wednesday night, partly cloudy and a low of 17 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
The Will Ag Farm Assets Conference will be held in Normal November 24th. Tickets are $25 and include lunch and parking. Details and tickets are at 800-898-1065 or willag.org. Thanks to these businesses for their support. Farm Credit Illinois and First Farm Credit Services, Stuart Peterson, Risk Management Commodities, and Pioneer Seeds.
Let's check now what happened in Chicago with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Thanks, Wayne, for taking the time with us. Are you staying warm there in Indiana?
Hey, as long as you stay indoors, it's just great. but outside, it's just doggone chilly. There are a few guys had some corn left or out in the field combine today, though. The early wind in the morning, took the snow off the corn plants, and they're out there combining away. But I'm glad that I'm not out there being one of them.
That would not be a place that I would want to be, but there are a few people that still have some corn that needs to come in, and I suppose this is as good a time as any, although the prices in Chicago, they remain lower. They're not that good by comparison to recent years. Do you have expectations that we will rally much in the next month and a half?
It looks a little bit hesitant as far as the corn seeing much of a rally here, Todd. We've got lots of piles that we see every place as we go around. We see the corn exports being diminished by the tremendously huge amount of boats being loaded with beans, so they can't load the corn. So less interest there. And, of course, we're under the Russian market for corn as far as that goes, so we're not the world leader in that right now. But we're probably 50 cents above where we thought we might be at this time, ending up harvest where we were, so we've seen a nice little bounce back. But I think we're going to be looking at sort of a sideways trading range here into Thanksgiving.
What's the next big mark for corn to look forward to? Is it not until January when we get to the USDA final reports? Or are there other items that we should be watching?
Well, I think, we're going to want to keep an eye and see if we can get some export business picked up a little bit as we get a few more boats available or loading space available at the Gulf and we cut back on some of our bean loadings. We're going to look and see the ethanol plants. Do they have enough inventory as we look ahead here? The ethanol plant's been running full bore, and they're going to continue to need corn daily. And it seems like a tendency when the farmers get done with harvest that those bin doors go shut till at least January. So, we might see some basis levels improve here very soon after harvest pretty well wraps up in a week or so.
You mentioned a couple of times the strong demand at the Gulf for the export of soybeans. I have heard that there are stacks at this point of ships waiting to be loaded, so that might pull things to the downside for soybeans, and maybe you can tell me whether that was what happened in Chicago today.
Well, there were strong rumors this morning that another two cargoes of U.S. bean sales been switched to South America. That's one thing. There was also rumors that some French wheat will be coming into the southeast to work into the feed rations down there, down in the area where they were having trouble getting the soybean meal. So we're, a little bit of business switching away from us. Didn't help the word today as far as we were going along. And also, as we look at the, record crush that we've looked at there, it does give us the feeling that we should be getting the pipelines filled back up again. And we're hearing that the Southeast is getting their meal on a little more regular basis, and the rail is starting to, between the truck and the rail that they had bought, that the pipeline's getting back to full. So that was sort of the attitude today with what was going on, I think, as we look at that. So, a little bit of a setback today from yesterday, but sort of just a choppy two-sided trade is what we've seen. This morning when we come in the office, we're on the highs of the day in that 1040 to 1042, and here we close at 1024. So who knows what the Europeans will do when the trade opens there tonight.
Yeah, so are you of a mind, as I close out our time together, that the underpinnings of the marketplace at this point are at least stable for a sideways market for a couple of months?
I think I don't know that we'll switch into a couple of months, but at least a month, month and a half as we get towards Christmas. I think that as we have all the discussion, Darrell Good talked about it on Farm Doc, of, you know, what is the real acreage going to be? Mm-hmm. There's quite a discrepancy between the FSA acreage and the NASA acreage. And that if that pulls on in, and we won't know that and see what we really do until the January report. So this sideways choppy trade with a little bias to the downside is what I'm feeling between now and the January report.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us, and looking forward to having you in Normal, Illinois next week for our Farm Assets Conference.
We'll be looking forward to being there.
All right. That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, and joins us on this Tuesday afternoon.
The WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference will be held in Normal, Illinois, November 24th. Tickets are $25 and include lunch and parking. Details and tickets are at 800-898-1065 or willag.org. Thanks to these businesses for their support. Standard Grain, Wisconsin Plastic Drain and Tile, and Strategic Farm Marketing.
Up next, a bunch of old farmers had some fun this past weekend with their old tractors. They also took time to teach a few aspiring diesel mechanics about the art of plowing and how to set up a tractor to do it. For the better part of a decade, Champaign County farmer Chuck Ehler has invited a few trusted friends to his farm each fall to plow under corn stalks. They bring their old tractors and their old plows.
This is our annual plow day, kind of a plowing fever situation, where we have a couple of dozen friends and neighbors that come out for the day, and we plow lots of corn stalks. We also have two or three other groups that come that have never seen a plow before, that have the opportunity to learn a little about it, how it works and what it does and how it's supposed to work.
Or maybe it's better to say how it used to work. The tractors in the field were at least 40 years old, some of them twice that age. The plows were in the same range. Ehler says he's been inviting farmers and their machinery to his farm for nearly a decade to turn under the corn stalks.
They're here to plow, and they're here to do the best work they can do. In other words, there's a reason we want good quality work, because we're going to farm it again next year. And so we want, and for young people that don't really know, we'll send an old person with them to really educate them.
Well, on that note, the bodies around the farm are a lot younger than the tractors and the plows. That's because Ehler works with the local community college to give students of diesel mechanics a unique hands-on experience. Mark Ziegler is the director of that program at Parkland Community College. He says the students learn an important lesson in the history of diesel mechanics.
They learn kind of the way we used to do things. You know, the students now all see the modern equipment with diesel exhaust fluid and GPS and auto steer. And so here they get the opportunity to see kind of the way we used to do things. There's opportunities as far as the maintenance side, bearings, and replacing, you know, worn parts as far as ground engaging pieces that they probably haven't done to date. And so there's always that learning component. It may not be something they take back and learn or use in the dealer right away, but it's certainly something that they may use in their career at some point.
Careers that will have these young men and women cross paths with many farmers and all types of equipment. There's still a lot of old iron out on the farm, and it needs to be maintained, even if it's sometimes for fun, as much as for work. Eventually, I'll have video that goes along with this story. I spent some time with Chuck Ehler and crew out on the farm over the weekend, watching those old, old tractors plow up the field. I'll let you take a look at it, too. It'll be posted on our willag.org website within the next couple of days. That's at willag.org. Now let's explore the agricultural news for the afternoon. The potential for boosting butanol as a biofuel is more promising, thanks to USDA scientists and their partners. Work by the Agricultural Research Service, ARS, suggests that barley straw and corn stover, which are both agricultural byproducts, could be cost-effective feedstocks for producing biobutanol. ARS is the USDA's chief scientific research agency, and this work supports the USDA priority of developing new energy sources. By the way, a gallon for gallon, biobutanol has 30% more energy than ethanol and only around 4% less energy than a gallon of petroleum-based gasoline. Let's stay in the biofuels area, where the renewable fuels industry says it won't be impacted much at all by the midterm election. That according to Growth Energy CEO Tom Bias.
The champions for our industry who lost were generally replaced by people who will also end up being our champions. Probably the biggest challenge for us is the leadership in the Senate. The new chairman of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee comes from Oklahoma and is an ethanol critic, and he replaces Senator Boxer from California, who has announced numerous times as long as she was chair of that committee, there would be no changes to the RFS.
The renewable fuels industry has been waiting for more than a year for the final 2014 Renewable Volume Obligations, or RVO, numbers.
2014 is almost over, and it's really time for them to propose the 2015 rule. But more importantly is what's in the rule. We didn't like the proposed rule. I think that helped drag it out because I think we convinced the administration and EPA that what they proposed was so off base that they had to go back and rethink it. So we're hopeful they come out with a good rule, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Bias says it's very important to defend the renewable fuel standard.
We've seen three major announcements this year of commercial production of cellulosic ethanol. If we're going to be able to have a marketplace, you got to have some pull demand, and you got to have a mechanism that opens up that marketplace. What the RFS does, by setting volume higher than current production this year, it says to obligated parties, you're going to have to remove your barriers and your restrictions from offering consumers this alternative fuel. And then we let the consumer make the choice, and it drives the marketplace.
And Tom Bias, CEO of Growth Energy, says that is the value of the RFS. Let's stay in Washington, D.C. for the moment, where the fight between agriculture and the White House over EPA's proposed Waters of the U.S. rule is heating up again, as a lame duck Congress sets the stage for what could be a contentious year ahead on environmental policy. The lame duck Congress had not been in session for even 2 days before lawmakers and lobbyists launched a new assault on the EPA's proposal to expand its waters jurisdiction. Southeastern Missouri Republican and farmer Jason Smith.
When the Natural Resources Committee held a hearing on this rule back in June, the federal agencies did not even show up. How can we trust them to work with landowners if the rule is implemented? Earlier this year, the House passed a bill to protect Americans from the huge regulatory burden, but like so many others, it's stuck in the Senate. Luckily, there's still time to do something to stop this disastrous power grab.
The EPA comment period on the proposed rule ended Friday, but with Republicans in control of both houses of Congress in January, House passed bills to sideline the EPA rule will now see Senate action. Though a presidential veto and court challenge are likely, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley expects Republicans will try to force the president's hand.
I expect the new Congress to spend a lot of time on regulations detrimental to agriculture, like EPA, U.S. water bills.
The Small Business Administration's Office of Advocacy has asked EPA to withdraw the measure, but EPA officials seem to be pushing it even harder, appealing to environmental and some industry groups. The National Governors Association has now also joined the fray, urging EPA Chief Gina McCarthy in a letter to work with states to clarify the rules, definitions, and exemptions for agriculture. And that's a look at what's been happening in Washington, D.C. and the agricultural news.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's turn our attention now to the lighter side. You know, the last 5 or 6 weeks of the year is turkey's time to shine, with most American households having a turkey on their holiday table either at Thanksgiving or Christmas. Scott Prestige is VP of Prestige Farms Turkey Division and says it's been a good year for them.
Well, we're pretty happy these days in the turkey business. We've had a good year. Turkey prices are the highest we've seen in, I think, ever. We're particularly happy with the softening of the corn market, and feed prices are coming down for us. They were awfully high, as you know, a year ago, and they've fallen, I'd say, close to half of where they were. That's obviously a good thing for us. Our sales from our operation have have been strong. We've seen good, strong prices on whole birds. We continue to see good prices on the breast meat market. Our inventories are getting low as we approach the end of the year. We feel like we're going to empty out the freezers and the coolers pretty well.
Not so long ago, the final 2 months of the year were the only months of the year for turkey meat. But as health-conscious eating moved into a new realm, so did turkey. And Prestige says now their sales have leveled out. Somewhat.
We stay busy year-round, and really, for most of my career, which now spans about 25 years around the business, it's been that way. Back when my father got into this business, it was much more seasonal. Of course, you know, we all depend upon a good Thanksgiving for the most part to have good years. You know, we still need to see whole bird sales fairly strong, but the turkey business is a year-round business, and breast meat sales play a huge role in what sort of year companies like ours have.
Prestige says they don't anticipate any kind of shortage of birds.
We anticipate our inventories to get pretty low as we approach the very end of the year, but we do feel like we're going to be able to meet all the orders of our customers.
While not necessarily his end of the business, Prestige says observation has told him that retail prices are holding in spite of lower input cost.
I'm like a lot of other folks. I go out in the grocery store and nose around a little bit to see what's going on. I'm more of a production side guy, but it looks to me like retail prices are hanging in there pretty well. I saw frozen birds in the meat case ranging from something just under a couple dollars a pound to well over $2 a pound. And so I'd say yes, the retail prices have been strong.
Prestige goes on to say that they are looking at a really good 2015.
A lot of what's driving the strong demand for turkey and chicken is continuing high prices in the beef market. We hope that next year is going to be another good year for us. We believe that with energy costs coming down for the American consumer, they're going to have a little more money to put into their food budgets. You're probably familiar with some of the problems that those of us in the pork business also have had with regard to the PED virus. And it's going to be sometime well into next year before we see pork supplies strengthen further, I think. And so we think that the coming year is going to be another pretty good year for the turkey business and poultry as a whole.
Again, that's VP of Prestige Farms Turkey Division, Scott Prestige. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don't forget to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all the information about next week's Farm Assets Conference, a way to purchase those tickets online, and information about this evening's Will Ag panel. That's in Clinton, Illinois, at the Richland Community College building. That's just off Route 51 near Sunset Drive. It's really simple to get to. Starts at 6:30. Jackie Vakes, Pete Manhart, and Matt Bennett will be along for tonight. It's open and free to the public, so if you want to come and get a quick view of the marketplace, tonight would be a great time to do it in Clinton, Illinois. I invite you to the Richland Community College building there at 6:30 for another one of our Will Ag Outlook panels.
The WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference will be held in Normal, Illinois, November 24th. Tickets are $25 and include lunch and parking. Details and tickets are at 800-898-1065 or willag.org. Thanks to these businesses for their support. Standard Grain, Wisconsin Plastic Drain and Tile, and Strategic Farm Marketing.
Our agricultural programming, of course, can be found online at willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. Posted not long after it airs on our radio stations, you can find it at willag.org. It's a great way to catch up on what's happening in the world of agricultural markets and weather. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll talk about the weather forecast, of course, with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. This program is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
It's St. Peter the Apostle Day, patron of bakers, butchers, fishermen, harvesters, and foot problems. On this day in agricultural history in 1307, the legendary William Tell shot an apple from his son's head in order to avoid execution for failing to bow before a hat on a pole on the local square belonging to the Habsburg Emperor. Historians continue to argue over the saga generally. The story is considered fiction. In 1805, Lewis and Clark reached the Pacific Ocean, the first Americans to cross the continent. Over a two-year period, the expedition covered 8,000 miles. Upon their return to St. Louis, they received a hero's welcome and grants of land. The Sacagawea received no compensation for her services. In 1810, Asa Gray was born, a leading American botanist of his time. He was a strong supporter of Darwin. In 1874, the Women's Christian Temperance Union was formed in Cleveland, Ohio. In 1966, American Roman Catholics were no longer required to abstain from eating meat on Fridays, but the prohibition continued on Ash Wednesday and Fridays during Lent. And in 1970, Linus Pauling declared that large doses of vitamin C could keep the common cold at bay. Pauling concluded that the best daily intake of vitamin C for most people was between 2.3 grams and 10 grams a day, well above the recommended daily allowance. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day is here to take up the weather forecast. Don, tell me about the weather forecast here in the Midwest. Gosh, I hope it gets warmer by the time we get to Thanksgiving.
Well, I tell you, we've got winter really just wanting to get going, and everything we see is a pattern that looks more like December or January. We do expect temperatures to warm up a bit late this week, and over the weekend we will see some moderation in temperatures. However, we're going to be looking at Thanksgiving week, likely bringing a couple of weather systems our way. The first one will move in early in the week, bringing a chance of rain and snow to the Midwest. That's going to be followed by the second half of next week, including Thanksgiving, probably getting quite a bit colder again. So we are looking at winter in full swing. It was starting, it seemed to have started a little late with that very mild fall we've had, but now it's really catching up.
And it's catching up quickly. Does this cold snap portend a colder winter across the board, do you think, or can we tell that
well,
yet?
Well, I certainly, from my opinion, is the answer is yes. I think we are likely going to see repeating episodes of this, much like we did last winter.
Oh, tell me it's not repeating episodes like last winter. I would prefer not to be that cold.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of the same things that were in place last winter, warm water temperatures in the Pacific, near the Gulf of Alaska, and a few other things are just favoring the buildup of cold air and having that cold air come south out of those higher latitudes. Not exactly like last winter. But already, I think from what we've seen this month in November, there's likely going to be other episodes later this month, December, and into January and February. So we need to sort of plan on winter, which is going to bring plenty of cold.
Let's move to warmer climes in Argentina and Brazil. Their crop should be underway with, I think, finally, some decent growing conditions, but you'll have a better feel for that than I.
Yeah, that is really true. Both in Brazil and Argentina, conditions are looking really quite good here over the next week. When you look at precipitation and temperature forecasts over the next 10 days, we see temperatures that are going to be close to normal, no one really hot, and chances of rain over many areas of the key growing areas of South America looking good.
Okay, hey, thanks so much. We do appreciate it.
Stay warm.
Of course, that's Don Day with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. If you have not yet visited our website or purchased your tickets for our Farm Assets Conference, you can still do that at 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. Or you can do it online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. You have a really good afternoon. Stay warm. Don't forget to come and visit us tonight if you can in Clinton, Illinois at the Richland Community College building. Our ag panel with Matt Bennett, Pete Manhart, and Jackie Vakes starts at 6:30. I'm Todd Gleason.